Biden hints at not running in 2024. The Supreme Court of the United States agrees to hear challenges to Biden's vaccine mandates, and schools in Ontario are no longer requiring that teachers take a math proficiency test. I'm William Hall, and this is The William Hall Show. All right, welcome back to the show. So let's go ahead and jump right into things. Biden right now is exhibiting a bunch of different weird behaviors, different statements that he's making are kind of hinting towards what's going to happen in the future and things that we need to pay attention to going into next year. One of those big things, first of all, I just want to read a quote that was from Biden from October 30th, 2020. Okay, so this is last year. And this is exactly from the words of Biden. This is not something that's made up here. This is what he said. He tweeted out, just days, by the way, before the presidential election on November 3rd, he said, I'm not going to shut down the country. I'm not going to shut down the economy. I'm going to shut down the virus. One of the stupidest statements we ever heard was the shut down the virus, whatever that's supposed to even mean. Now, Biden is one of those people that did exactly those things he said he wasn't going to do, right? He didn't shut down the virus at all, but he did shut down the economy. He did shut down the country. That's exactly what he did. And you see these lies over and over and over again. And just a quick reminder, government cannot shut down a virus. It can control certain things, but it has never been in the government's capability to entirely get rid of some type of virus that's going on. But for some reason, you have Democrats, liberals, feeling as if that's somehow possible. It never was that way. But Biden has been messing up the United States over and over again. And in a report here, he was just claiming very recently that the economy is stronger today than it was before the pandemic. That is a blatant lie. If you have been buying products, looking at buying houses, anything, it's not better than it was before. That's not the truth. So this was actually at his supply chain disruptions task force meeting that he was having. And he said, today, America is the only leading economy in the world where household incomes and the economy as a whole is stronger than they were before the pandemic, even accounting for price increases. So remember, this is not true at all. And then he apparently quoted some anonymous analyst who said in 2021 that was the strongest first-year economy track record of any president in the last 50 years. Like, wait, what are you talking about? I mean, they won't list who it is. They won't give you the actual stats there. It's just this statement that you're supposed to believe because Biden said so. This guy, this supposed expert, said something about it being better. But it's not better. We know that that's not the case at all. Like I said, when we're looking at inflation, many other things like that. The other thing, too, is that Biden shouldn't be getting credit for bringing back jobs that people lost because of him in the first place. Let's be honest here. Somebody going back to work that previously worked before, that was forced out of a job because of a vaccine mandate or whatever else, does not give Biden the ability to say, oh, well, look at all this job growth. No, you took jobs away. You scared people out of getting a job. You basically incentivized people not to work. And then when you stop doing that, you want everybody to laud you and applaud your behavior or the stats and showing that people are getting their previous jobs back. That's not new job growth. That's not economic growth. That's just a simple fact that Biden messed up the United States for the longest period of time, and he continues to do so. And that's why he shouldn't be getting credit for any of this stuff here. Here's a quick report on housing prices right now. Things have been getting absolutely ridiculous. So according to the National Association of Realtors, the median existing home price in November was $353,900. That's what the basic average cost is for a house. That's a 13.9% increase since November 2020. So just since last year, we've seen almost basically a 14% increase in house prices right now. This is absolutely ridiculous that this is happening. A lot of this is also taking place because even building a house right now is insane. Me and my wife were actually looking at building a house fairly soon, and we were basically told it was going to take at least a year from the completion date because of lumber shortages, because of window shortages. So many things that they would normally have pretty easily, they're not able to do. And the problem is that many houses that are being built are stopped in production because, say, for example, they've done all of the main outer workings of the house and everything. But the problem is that they may have the tile to lay or the wood floors or carpet or whatever to put in the house, but they can't do it because there's no windows. And you don't want to obviously put tile or any flooring in before you get windows in. So things like that halt the production, and then you also have the price increases like crazy. This is not a better economy. I don't care what Biden is saying about that. That's a blatant lie. Another shortage that we're seeing here is pet food. Just a new report out talking about the fact that pet food is at a massive shortage right now, and people are going to start losing their minds over this. I think this is a even bigger deal for many people because you start looking at the shelves for your own food, and sure, that's there, but then you start looking for dog food, and then you're really going to start making some people really upset with these kinds of shortages like this. So shortages in labor, raw materials, transportation, human food supply, beverages to snacks, of course, those have shortages as well. And now pet owners are buying bigger volumes of food. So pet sales at supermarkets grew 6.9% over the past 52 weeks. And that ended November 27th compared to the 2.3% of food overall. So pet food has gone up even more as a result of all of this. And then we're seeing these massive shortages as well. So this is not a good thing at all for the economy. This is not what you call a growing economy or the best economy we've seen in 50 presidents. That doesn't make sense. That's not how that works. And quoting anonymous people that have no idea what they're talking about doesn't make it true. It just doesn't. Biden has no idea what he's doing whatsoever. But one of the big stories that actually came out is that Biden is hinting at the fact that he's not going to run in 2024. I think this is something that a lot of us suspected. It's something I was assuming was probably not going to happen. Biden is extremely old. By the time that the next 3 years or really 2 years take place, he's going to be even older, obviously. And I don't think that he has it in him to run again. Not for another 4 years. I mean, honestly, he's barely scraping by today. He's barely making it through. He's slurring his speech. He's unable to keep track of what's going on. You basically have the administration around him effectively trying to hide him away from the public, basically keeping him from answering questions or having appearances or anything. I mean, you just notice that he's not really there all that much, because they don't want him out there. The more that Biden is out in the public and speaking to people and doing interviews and whatever it is, the worse he sounds. The worse he is, and people start to recognize that and see what's going on for what it really is. So here's the actual video clip of Biden in an interview basically saying that he's not going to probably be running in 24, at least hinting at the fact that he may not run.
I want to ask you about something I asked weeks before the election when we sat down. You said you would absolutely serve 8 years if elected. Do you plan to run for re-election?
Yes. But look, I'm a great respecter of fate. Fate has intervened in my life many, many times. If I'm in the health I'm in now, if I'm in good health, then in fact, I would run again.
And if that means a rematch against Donald Trump?
You're trying to tempt me now. Sure. Why would I not run against Donald Trump or even the nominee? That'd increase the prospect of running.
All right. So, yeah, so he's kind of hinting there that he's probably not going to run, or that he may not run, dependent on his health. Okay. Biden is already mentally deteriorating. Anybody that has any common sense can see that clearly. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. So we'll see what happens, but I think that's really the thing to pay attention to here. Biden probably won't make it anyways. He's barely making it by now, if you want to call this making it by. I don't really think it is. I mean, from him tripping up in Air Force One to being entirely confused by questions people are asking or blowing up on people randomly, the United States looks very weak right now because we have a feeble old man that's basically a dementia patient in the White House right now. That doesn't belong in there, shouldn't be there, and is nothing but kind of this empty suit that fills and really just allows for the actual radicals to do whatever they want to do with this country. I don't even think he's really operating as the legitimate president. He's just a person sitting in a chair, basically, and other people around him are the ones that are basically dictating his every move. I mean, you hear it all the time where he says, "Oh, they told me not to answer that question," or I'm going to get in trouble if I do this or say this or answer that. You see this happen all the time. The guy's obviously not there. He's not with it whatsoever. So definitely something to take into consideration over the next few years. But there was actually this interview that this guy had in a different story. It's kind of interesting because it was by an interview that was actually done by The Daily Show. That's the one with Trevor Noah and his liberal craziness that he normally does on his show. But they were basically going around and asking people like what they thought or what they were going to basically miss out on dealing with the vaccine mandates and everything else like that. And lo and behold, they actually come in contact with a guy that is a conservative and not an idiot. And so the interview kind of gets owned in this one. So check this one out here.
What are you going to miss out on if this mandate prevents you from doing
it? I just tried to get some Thai. I love Thai food. I just tried to get some Thai food around the corner. They told me I couldn't sit down and eat unless, I had a vaccine mandate. Now, I believe things like that were said to Martin Luther King when he tried to walk into places to eat. But they said they had a different reason to make him a second-class citizen.
Compare yourself to MLK are big words for a guy wearing 80s B-boy jeans.
Actually, these are not 80s B-boys jeans. They are new true religions. I know you can't tell because you're a Democrat and you can't afford these things.
All right, well, enjoy. I hope you don't get sick.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I still haven't yet. Have you gotten COVID?
I did.
Ha, that sucks. Too bad for you.
That's the empathy that the young Republicans bring. Thank you. Where are you getting?
All right, so they're like, oh yeah, we should have probably answered that guy's or actually talked to that guy at all. I'm sure he's absolutely regretting that. And of course, he's kind of asked them at the end, did you get sick? And the interviewer was like, yeah, I did. And of course, I'm assuming that guy was wearing his mask like crazy, went along with all the liberal mandates and everything, and probably vaccinated too. But notice how the guy that didn't even have the vaccine at all isn't wearing a mask is the one that didn't get COVID. The point is, and just by looking at the stats, you can tell this, that you were better off. We were literally better off last year than we were this year without the vaccine. So it's insane seeing this. It's pretty funny to see this guy basically get owned. He obviously wasn't expecting him to say that. But I think that this video also goes into something quite interesting, which is where the guy says, I'm going to miss this Thai food. I'm going to miss food that I would like to eat all because of something ridiculous like a stupid vaccine mandate. And that is where people are going to be really upset because you're talking about house prices going up. You're talking about the pet food, like I mentioned earlier, and places that people just want to eat. The regular joys of life that many people usually are able to partake in, they can't simply because Biden is trying to lock everything down, make everybody get this vaccine. That doesn't work at all. I mean, it's literally done nothing to stop the spread. That's all we need to see. We're seeing more deaths before. And yet, like I reported on the last show, where's the death counter? Where's the case counter? They only want to talk about what's worse in that particular moment, but nothing else. It's just very convenient for the media to do this, for them to cover all of this up. You see this all the time, though. So swapping over here to a different story, this one is definitely the cringiest video I've seen so far. It absolutely is ridiculous. So this is actually some dancing and singing nurses, okay, that Jill and Joe Biden decided to invite to the White House to do a performance. So because I had to watch this, you have to watch this too, unfortunately, but go ahead and check this one out here.
The tree before my spirit falls again. Fill up the stockings. I might be wrong.
Okay, so yeah, that is the worst thing I think I've seen all year, really. If you're listening to this on the audio, you basically have like, I don't know, 15 to 20 nurses standing in these rows singing. Obviously, this was pre-recorded from what it looks like, and then they're just kind of acting out and lip-syncing this stuff after the fact. But you have like all but two of them wearing a mask, because those other two had a solo that they didn't have to wear a mask for whatever the science is behind that. But everybody else in there is wearing a mask for whatever reason. But what I find insane, besides this just being ridiculous and just really dumb looking and sounding and everything, it's just so cringy. It's unbelievable. But what's crazy about all of this is that those same nurses, if they are unwilling to get vaccinated, they'll have no problem firing them, right? Liberals don't care about nurses. Why they have them in there singing and dancing is beyond me. They're only okay with them as long as they're willing to go right along with all the vaccine mandates and everything else. The second that goes away, the second they disagree with them on something like that, and they kick them to the curb. They don't care. So why they're using nurses and masks to try and sing some ridiculous Christmas song to act as if this is a good thing, I don't know. I don't know what the point of this is besides just a virtue signal. I mean, Jill, and presumably she's the main one that invited this group here to do this. I don't know who these people are or what this group is, but obviously very, very, very cringy, and just it has to be just the dumbest thing I've seen all year, honestly. So speaking of the vaccines and whatnot, the vaccine mandates that Biden has been allowed to basically re-implement, a lot of lawsuits are now going to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court has now agreed that they will hear the challenges to these vaccine mandates. So this is actually a big deal, because this is the only way that we're going to be able to get rid of this and shoot these things down as being as unconstitutional as they really are. That's what really matters with all of this. So last week, a three-judge panel for the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals reinstated Biden's mandate for the businesses with more than 100 employees, as I was reporting on in the last episode. Shortly after the court's decision, the Republican attorneys general, private businesses, and other religious groups challenged Biden's vaccine mandates appeal to the Supreme Court. The High Court of the land will hear oral arguments on two of Biden's mandates for private businesses and healthcare workers on January 7, 2022, with Justice Alito, Kavanaugh considering requests to stay the mandates. And of course, Kavanaugh being, you know, I don't really know. He sides with liberals so much, it's basically a waste of time. So we'll have to see what happens. These are obviously unconstitutional. Once again, it's not in the federal government's power to do this. It never has been. Just look at the founding documents. Look at the Federalist Papers. That was never the design for the United States, was to have the federal government basically telling the states what to do. It should be up to the states to decide what it is that they're going to do in this situation. That's not something that the federal government can just blanket cover everybody with and force them to do that. The states should have the power in these situations, but yet you see them denying that over and over and over again. So we'll keep track of that for next year as well in regards to that. So another interesting story that came across my desk here was actually about the Ontario schools. They're apparently not requiring teachers to take a math proficiency test. So normally this was a requirement for these schools, as you would expect it to be, to make sure that the teachers obviously have some ability to do math. Well, apparently it's racist to do math, because so this is what they're saying. The court ruled that because non-white teachers are less likely to pass the math test, it should no longer be required. Hey, you know, I'm really struggling to understand where this is coming from here. Why does it matter? I mean, you might as well run a thing saying, well, you know, or men do better on math than women, so let's just get rid of it. Listen, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's going on. What should matter is the education for the children. When you see the teachers' standards erode, the students' standards erode. And the thing to think about, there's actually a book that I'm reading. It's a book by Thomas Sowell. It just came out today, dealing with the education system. I think it's the education system in America or something like that. Really good book to read, by the way. Because really, it's not just him going obviously into vaccine things and things like that, but he goes into issues like this where you have teachers getting dumber over the generations too, right? And as a result, these younger teachers teach younger generations, and they teach them worse than the previous generations. And you wind up with this problem where our education system has gotten significantly worse over time. And a lot of it is attributed to stuff like this, because you have them basically saying, you know what, teachers, doesn't matter if they know this or they know that, as long as they can kind of get in there. And like the old school saying where all they have to do is stay a lesson ahead of the student, right? That's basically what you have happening in Ontario right now. And make no mistake, it's probably going to wind up happening in the United States as well. And with our teachers' unions, which basically make it almost impossible to fire a teacher for even not being a good teacher, like legitimately not knowing what they're doing. There was actually a case in the book that Thomas Lowell was talking about where this, I forgot exactly which subject she was teaching, but she was a teacher, actually I think it was English, and she was teaching English to these students, and the parents basically reported her and said, this teacher is absolutely terrible. She doesn't know anything about the English language hardly almost at all. She doesn't know anything about vocabulary. So they actually put her on administrative leave, their fancy way of saying, you know, we're looking into the issue. And she had to appear in court because of this. And they had her basically, they tried to get her to define several words that were on certain tests that she had given the students, by the way. And she had no idea what the definitions of them are. So like for the definition of suffrage, she said something like, it's when people suffer for some reason. So she had no idea what a lot of words meant. She had no idea how to spell a lot of simple, fairly simple words. And guess what? They reinstated her back into her job. I mean, so this is happening all over the United States right now. It's happening, obviously, in Ontario right now, specifically with math. Just basically this issue where they're saying, you know what? Because we see a this type of diversity here, this issue happening where there are this disparity, what we're going to do is that we're going to get rid of that standard entirely so that we can have more teachers that are of these different races, but are in turn significantly worse teachers. And they don't care about this. This tells you that this was never about your students. They don't care about your students. What they care about is virtue signaling. What they care about is stats, numbers, quotas, things that we see on jobs all the time. It's absolutely ridiculous that they're doing this. So another thing that we're seeing happen right now in reference to those vaccine mandates, by the way, is a lot of states are suing the Biden administration because of this. So I already reported on the Supreme Court hearing up a lot of things as well, but we actually have 24 states that have filed a lawsuit against the Biden administration in regards to the vaccine mandate. So this is a massive deal, once again, with the Supreme Court being in charge of this as well. Obviously a good idea. So the lawsuit filed by the attorneys, the AGs, the attorney generals of so far Louisiana, Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, Arizona, Florida, Georgia, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Utah, Wyoming, and West Virginia so far. So that's a lot of states. It's basically half the states in the United States that are now saying, we're not going to do anything. We don't want anything to do with these vaccine mandates. Now, what's interesting is a lot of these liberal places are deciding they don't really care. So basically the actual New York, or the city in New York, basically is deciding that they're going to go ahead and push through with their vaccine mandate. So Washington, D.C. also just recently said the exact same thing. So they've joined major cities in issuing COVID-19 vaccine mandates for indoor activities, including dining, gyms, as cases continue to rise for the Omicron variant, or at least what they think is the Omicron variant, because remember, there's no specific way for them to test it, at least not with the regular test. They have to send only a small batch of them off to some extra thing to do the actual real test to see exactly what variant it actually was. So the mandate will affect several city landmarks as well as indoor dining in the Capital One Arena. So this is something that a lot of these liberal places are doing. So now they've got D.C. joining New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, San Francisco, Seattle, New Orleans, and Boston. All liberal places that are going to be doing these vaccine mandates, of course. And so, of course, it never made any sense for them to do that, but that's what's happening right now across our country. Remember, specifically this new variant is maybe more infectious, but it is definitely less deadly, and the Democrats don't care. They don't care about what the science shows because they need it to be bad. And I posted about this on social media maybe a month ago, but the companies, Pfizer, all of them, they need it to be bad. They need the variant to be worse than it actually is, because how else are they going to possibly be able to convince you that you must get this vaccine, that you must get this booster, and so on and so on. It's all about money to them. That's what this has always been. Democrats don't want COVID to go away, because if it did, they wouldn't have any of the power and control that they think they have right now. That's just the fact as it is right now. So last but not least, I wanted to, as we're getting ready to head into Christmas, I'm actually doing a Christmas Eve service or Christmas Eve service tomorrow, and then another Christmas service I'm doing tonight. So there's a lot going on right now, and it's very busy for everybody. But I just wanted to read a verse that many of you know or have heard many times in the past. It's Isaiah 9, 6. And it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So I just wanted to just kind of point out this idea of the government being on his shoulders and understanding that everything that happens in this country happens for a reason. And although we don't like a lot of it, and we're trying to fight against things, and we, of course, should be fighting against the things that we know are inherently wrong, understand that this is a part of God's plan, that we are protected, that we are safe, that we trust in God's plan for the future. And we may not understand it now, but we will soon. So take this time for Christmas to spend time with your family and the members of your families, and just to focus on what Christmas is all actually about. Not gifts necessarily and Santa Claus and a Christmas tree, but specifically on the birth of Jesus Christ. That's what this has always been about, and it's the most important time of the year. And that's why I couldn't care less about what Democrats tell me or anyone else about how many people we should be gathering with or what vaccine they want us to be on. It doesn't matter, because that's not what this is about. So go to church, go to a Christmas Eve service, wherever that's close to you. It's a part of understanding what it is that we do in this country. It's the basis for everything. There's so many people out there that claim to be a Christian, claim to uphold Christian values, but you see the way that they act, you see what they say on social media, you know that's not the case. There's a lot of faux Christians out there, people that pretend to be and aren't really Christians. So, you know, this is the time to reset, you know, and go into the next year with an understanding of what we do, why we do what we do, what the ultimate goal is, obviously, to get to heaven, and who we should really be worshiping. Not Trump, as Trump actually said himself. Here's a short clip of Trump admitting that. And I love this clip, but go ahead and check it out here.
More than 2,000 years ago, an angel, the Lord, appeared, and really, it's been a long and beautiful history, but an angel of the Lord appeared to humble shepherds and proclaimed the reason for our Christmas joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, when I was listening to Robert, perhaps unknowingly, you use the word Savior a lot, and our country needs a Savior right now, and our country has a Savior. And that's not me. That's somebody much higher up than me, much higher up. We just do what we have to do. But the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ forever changed the world.
All right. And so that's Trump basically saying and kind of echoing the exact same comments there. So even he understands it's not him. Like, right, we'll do as much as we can here, but ultimately it's up to God and what plan he has for this country and for our lives and everything else like that. So with that being said, that's all I have for you on this episode. I hope all of you have a great Christmas, that you're able to relax and take some time off. I know that I will be as well. I will be returning next year in, I think it's January 4th, that Tuesday or whenever that day is. So I will see you next year. But I thank you for supporting the show, for watching the show, for listening to the show, wherever that's at. Remember, you can always follow me on social media networks. I'm pretty much everywhere that you can find me, on all of them, for the time being, at least until I get banned. But I'm everywhere you can, that you can think of. And you can always go and follow me on there, see what I'm posting all the time. If you're listening to this also on Apple Podcasts, remember, leave a review. Also, Spotify has reviews now where you can actually leave a 5-star review. So if you do that, that would be awesome in support of the show. But with that being said, I'm William Hall, and this is The William Hall Show.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven.